they were being perfected as God used them. And so there's a lie that says, well, I just can't do it because I'm not where I need to be. God knows where you need to be. You can fully be yourself in your dysfunctional self. You can fully be yourself in all the quirks that God has given you and still use you in that thing. And so what happens is the enemy tries to drop little lies and it says, oh, you can't show that because you got to show yourself. You got to be a Christian. Huh? So you can't show that because if you show that, then people look at you and say, well, you're really not walking with Jesus because that's not healed or there's no fruit. And the reality of it is that it's being healed. And that if you don't step out, you'll never see what God can do in weakness. So if you're trying to do it in your strength all the time, you'll never see the power of God made perfect in your weakness. And that's what happens with a lot of people. They're like, well, I got to be strengthened first before I can do it. Absolutely, you got to be strengthened. Stuff has to be shored up. But God's not asking you to go in your own strength. He's asking you to go in His strength. Because He knows that it's made perfect in weakness and He gets the glory from it. But you're qualified to do what God's called you to do because of the Spirit of God that's in there. Now, no one's talking about walking in compromise in a course of sin. No one's saying that. If you are, shut it down because God will expose you. And if that's the case, if you don't think so, just keep looking. They're coming down one by one. So God is a God who does not lie. He's a God who is for you. He's not against you, but He will does not want to shame you. But He will expose because He's faithful. And so that should bring with it a level of reverence and fear to know that God sees things that are going on in secret because He understands that it's not your name that's on the line, it's His name. So we've got to get to a point where we understand that God is serious about what He says, and Misty, you know, shared a prophetic word this morning, which was great. But at the same time, God is going to raise His own name up for His renown in these last days. So if you're in it, fantastic. Stay in it because God wants to do something on the long haul with you and He wants you to ride out until the end. It gives Him no glory if you dip out at the last moment. So don't dip out. You've come too far. Let's just grind it out if we got to. Grind it out. Because as you work and as He works in you, you're being perfected and God's going to get the glory. You're going to see fruit. Absolutely. But God wants you standing in the end. Let's stand in the end and let's live long enough to see the Spirit of God be poured out and that you don't dip out. Because I'm telling you what, if you leave now, you're not coming back. You're not going to come back. The world is too difficult and too jaded right now. So I would be thankful, and if nothing else this week, just praise God that you're in right now, even though it's difficult, because the doors are closing for what God's about to do, and just be thankful that He saved you in spite of you and that you made it this far and that God wants to use you, because there are friends that you know who are going to be left behind. You're going to look out the window and they're still going to be on the runway as you take off. Be thankful that you're in right now and that God chose you. And don't take it for granted the things that God wants to do in your life, because not everybody gets to do it. Not everybody gets to do it. And so the Spirit of God is going to be poured out and God wants to use His people, absolutely. But His people who are walking with Him. So, and as we wrap up this series on Saul, Saul is just, he's a lesson in how quick dysfunction can take you out. Dysfunction. Obedience is what God desires over sacrifice. Obedience. That's what He's looking for. But if you decide that you want to do something besides being obedient and because you think that you have a better plan, God will make sure to answer in a certain way. And I think what's happening in the world today, there are a lot of people who don't think that God is alive or even relevant. And they go on living their lives thinking that, well, there's no repercussions for their actions. And in reality, there is repercussions. They just don't know slowly, slowly, they're drifting. Because the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So there's going to be a payday, and little by little, you can see the stripping away of themselves until the point where there's no recognition of who they are. Just go to the mall. And have no understanding or perception about what they're becoming. And I think that's one of the greatest travesties as a person, if you don't understand how far you've drifted until you look out and say, how did I even get here? In 1 Samuel chapter 31, Saul is now at the end of his life. And I can't help but think that as he's on this battlefield, that his life is flashing before his eyes from when he was called to now years later to when he's on the battlefield. What happened? Now the Philistines attacked Israel and the men of Israel fled before them again. Many were slaughtered on the slopes of Mount Gilboa. The Philistines closed in on Saul and his sons, and they killed three of his sons, Jonathan, Abinadab, and Malchishua. The fighting grew very fierce around Saul, and the Philistine archers caught up with him and wounded him severely. Saul groaned to his armor bearer, "Take your sword and kill me before these pagan Philistines come, run me through and taunt me and torture me." But his armor bearer was afraid and would not do it, so Saul took his own sword and fell on it. And when his armor bearer realized that Saul was dead, he fell on his own sword and died beside the king. So Saul, his three sons, his armor bearer, and his troops all died together that same day. Verse 7, catch this. When the Israelites on the other side of the Jezreel Valley and beyond the Jordan saw that the Israelite army had fled and that Saul and his sons were dead, they abandoned their towns and fled. So the Philistines moved in and occupied their towns. Once again, the Philistines are coming against the Israelites, and there's fierce battle taking place. Once again, we get a picture in to not only Saul's attitude, but Israel's attitude when it comes to fighting and war. They're looking at their leader. Their leader is now wounded on the battlefield, and when you read the Bible, it is important sometimes to imagine yourself there, because you get a glimpse and a picture of what was taking place during that time. They're under severe attack. This is the end. Saul knows it's the end. Knows nothing more than to try to kill himself, because God forbid his life is spared and it is now given over to the Philistines for them to do what they want to do with him, because you know when they got him, they were going to torture him. He decides to take his own life. And as a result, others follow. I'm going somewhere today. Just not only did he take his own life, but his armor bearer took his life. And not only did his armor bearer take his life, but Israelites looked over and said, "Oh God, king's done. Armor bearer's done. We're out." Leaving a gaping hole from what they were called to occupy. This is your area to occupy. My leader's gone. His armor bearer's gone. His sons are gone. We're out. And it made me start to think, how many of us, when those that we look at, especially in leadership, those that we look at for guidance, decide to give up, essentially take their own life into their own hands, abandon post, and say, "This is too difficult for me. I can't do it anymore. Houston, we have a problem. We have a problem." You're called to occupy, you're called to take ground, you're called to stand. But rather than do that, the mindset all of a sudden prevails that there's just too many of them, I just can't do it. And I'm concerned because I feel that that is the type of attitude that is creeping into the church. It's just too many of them. The fighting is too fierce. I can't continue anymore. I'm wounded. What else am I supposed to do? It's easier. I'll just self-sabotage. Because that's what people do when it gets hard and it gets difficult. Rather than pull their pants up, rather than stand firm and do what God's called them to do, they self-sabotage, and all of a sudden it starts a pattern in their life where they begin to regress back in unhealthy patterns and say, you know what, it's easier for me to stay dysfunctional in here rather than for me to stand up and say, no, the progress that I've made has been worth it. I'm going to continue to fight like hell because I know that what I've progressed into, I don't want to change and I don't want to lose. Why would I go back to that where I've got the fight? It's just too, it's going to be fierce. You're not facing an enemy who is weak and stupid. Deceived, yes, but not stupid. I see you got a little victory there, Misty. That's awesome. So we're going to test this. You're going to find yourself now on another mountain top, another hillside, with another group of enemies staring at you. And honestly, we're going to go a little bit deeper. It's not going to be another group of enemies. It's going to be the same voices that have always talked to you. And I'm going to keep from there and say, okay, let's see how far this chick's gone. And the decision has to be made. I'm going to stand up in this thing because I've seen God's faithfulness. Even though it's hard, I'm wounded. I'm hurting. There's no one in here who's not. I'm hurting, but I'm still going to come up into it because I know that greater is he that is in me than he that's on his hillside and he that's in the world. So no matter what you throw at me, I'm still going to stand up in it because I know who I am, I know whose I am, and I'm going to fight in this thing. So that's where the test is. I got a little progress. Now what am I going to do? The fighting is fierce, but that means that your faith has to respond in another way. Did you think that it wasn't going to be fierce? And honestly, some people say, yeah, I didn't think it was going to be this bad. Because when they were sold Christianity, they were sold a get-out-of-jail-free card and eternal life. If you pray this prayer, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. You know the prayer. Forgive me of my sins. Lord, I knew not what I was doing. I pray that you would come in, change my heart, change my nature, make me a new person, make me brand new. And I promise to follow you the rest of the days of my life in Jesus' name. Amen. Good job. You got it? Good. We'll see you next week at church. You're saved now. We're saved. I prayed the prayer. Man, what happened? I haven't seen you in weeks. Well, I know. It's just been really difficult. And you know stories about this with people. I prayed the prayer. You prayed a prayer. I prayed the prayer with you. But what happened? Well, I mean, I really don't know. You didn't get plugged in. That's the problem. You prayed a prayer. No one told you what to do next. I told you, one of the things you got to start doing with people is giving them disclaimers. You can't just give them the salvation prayer and be like, okay, hey, we'll see you. No, here's the disclaimer. I wrote this for you just real quick. I just want to let you know. Make sure you read this when you go home. It's going to help you. It's not just about conversion. It's about your character being developed and changed. And you're going to go through some hard stuff because you call yourself a Christian and you're going to be tested. Just so you know, I just want to let you know. Well, what does that mean? It's real simple. You're going to be hit on physically. They're going to come get you. Going to come get you. Emotionally, you just wait. Oh, you just wait. It's coming. I just want to let you know it's coming right now. Okay, it's coming. Guess what? You thought you had problems now? Just wait until all of a sudden the screen comes up in your mind and all those things that happened in your past, all of a sudden the enemy just begins to write all you see the scripts of all that stuff. Oh, it's going to be good for you. Just wait. It's going to be wait. Just wait. And also, by the way, most of the time, you're not going to know what God's doing. So it's a faith walk. You're just going to have to walk, take his hand, and he'll lead you and show you what's up when it's time. But just so you know, you're about to, and what you just did, you just put yourself in the middle of a fierce fight, and it's coming. It's coming. Don't worry about it. It's coming. Just want to let you know. But when it comes, I got you. I remember, we talked. The flip side is, then we do a disservice with people when we get too spiritual. And I'll leave that for another sermon in a couple weeks. Or where it becomes all experiential and there's no depth. Because you just had a nice feeling flutter with God. And that feeling flutter made you feel euphoric. And you got to a place where this is the best thing I ever did. Hey, Lord, can we just set up a tent up here? And we go through all these services and have all this stuff. And people are just wooing and hollering and going crazy. Experientially. But lacking depth. Because you just had a great experience, but then the enemy came in and just reminded you that you have a porn addiction. And how are you going to fight that off? But we're praising God, but then we're like, hold on, well, I got to look in the computer real quick. Hold on. Man, Jesus is good. Got to go to church. Hold on. Oh, man, God, you're so good. You ain't thinking about God. You're thinking about Michelle. You don't think this happens in churches every week? You know this thing is, this is not happening on your jobs? When your boss is out of way? Search engine, clear the history, you're back. What's up? How you guys doing? Good. I want to offer you a free. All this stuff. So you got to be thinking, this stuff is happening because the enemy knows the weakness of people. The weakness of people. He's not interested or concerned about your experience. You had a great experience on Sunday, wonderful. What's going to happen during the week is what's going to test you. And so if we can't stand up under the test, all we're going to do is float from dysfunction to dysfunction, never making any progress and never seeing any breakthrough. And this is what we look at in Saul's life. Saul, disobedient, goes from bad to worse. Keep reading. If there's no backstop to help stop you from going backwards, you're in trouble. If there's no emotional depth or no ability to set a boundary or no ability to have strength where you once were weak, you will continually funnel backwards into dysfunction to the point where you'll give up and say, this is not worth it anymore. I'm just not seeing progress. It's not worth following Jesus. It's not that it's not worth following Jesus. It's just harder than you thought. Because he doesn't take my problems. He takes my burdens, yes. And I give him my burdens, yes. It does not mean that I don't have to walk in this life and that I'm not going to be peppered with stuff from my past and how dysfunctional I am and where I was. That is the process of walking through sanctification. I'm justified in his sight, but I'm being sanctified as I walk. And I have to continue to walk in that progress, even in the midst of dysfunction. That means I have to get some emotional stuff under wraps. I have to get it taken care of. And you know what I'm talking about. There's stuff you know in your heart. I got to get this beat. I have to. Because I keep leaking here, and it's killing me. I can't function without this coming up. And it's ticking me off. And until you get sick of it, you won't deal with it. How sick of you, or how sick are you right now of that thing? That'll determine the level of fight you have to come against it. If you're not ticked enough, you're not ready to deal with it yet. Because the enemy will just keep lathering it on until finally you say, I've had enough of this. I'm sick of walking in dysfunction. I'm sick of not being able to hold my tongue. I'm sick of not walking in power. I'm sick of letting fear beat me. I'm sick of not being able to have a conversation without falling apart on the inside. I'm sick of not being able to look up at the enemy and say, you will not overtake me today. I've got you. I'm sick of not being myself. You got to really shake yourself and say, you know what? I am healed in Jesus' name. I am whole in Jesus' name. I'm calling forth the things that are not as though they were in Jesus' name. My past does not define me in Jesus' name. I have a new future in Jesus' name. There's no condemnation. When he looks at me, he does not look at me through my sin. He looks at me through his blood, and I am washed. I am justified in him. And as I begin to look that way, I begin to walk in freedom, and my perspective changes. Why? Because then you begin to say, I'm fighting from a position of victory. I'm not working up to victory. I'm fighting from a position of victory. And when I do that, guess what? Victory has a tendency to break out. Because faith has a supernatural way of becoming reality in our life when I do it in faith. All of a sudden, I start seeing victory. No, you know what? I am victorious. And all of a sudden, things begin to change. That doesn't affect me anymore. Doesn't mean I don't feel it. Time has nothing to do with me not feeling that way, but has everything me to do and say it's not going to define me. In faith, nah, it's okay. I'm still going to do it anyway. And God meets me. That's what he's looking for. I know you feel that way, but it doesn't mean it has to be that way. We have a problem. We're feeling so much that we lost what it means to walk by faith. Because we think that walking by faith, we got to be perfect. And you're not going to be perfect. That's why faith is there. That's why you can look into a situation or look at something that's dysfunctional and call it out for what it is. Because you're seeing with eyes of faith, you're seeing in a different way. So when you look at things and all of a sudden your spirit clicks, it's the Spirit of God speaking to you and say, this is correct. This is the way it is. And you, when you look at it that way, it changes the way you look at it. So when God looks, when we look at something and we look at something that's transgender, and the Lord says, that's not my perfect design, he's not lying to you. But people have bought into feel. I feel this way, so I am that way. And God says, that is not the case. If I were to let my feelings dictate what I do, we got a problem. I'd be in jail or dead. But because I walk by the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God can discern and help me discern, and my feelings are supposed to be subject and yielded to the Holy Spirit, then he can help me overcome because I walk by faith and not by sight. I see it, I feel it, I want it. No, that's not for you. That's not yours. And that's what we do. People who are really walking with Jesus, I feel it, I see it, I want it. Why? Because God's good. God's grace is good and it'll cover it all. That's not for you. You don't have boundary or permission for that. This is what I have for you. This is your wife. None other you shall have. There are many names that you could have, Richie. Many pronouns you could have. There are only one. You're a male. There's no debating whether you're a male. You don't have, Richie, I remind you every day you're a male. There are many pronouns, Kristen, you can have, but the Lord said, you're a female. Please accept that. We don't have to, like, try to cross over and try to debate whether or not something is what it's not. No, this is what it is. And that will help debunk and straighten out some things that are crooked. If God will just allow you to see the way it's supposed to be seen. There are some things that are just common sense, God said. All right, just common sense. That is a square. This is a round hole. That square does not go in the round hole. It doesn't take faith to believe that. Just try to put it in. It just doesn't work. It just, you squeeze it, you end up breaking something because it was not designed to go there. And what we do is we break the system. You're trying to do something that God said, that's not the design. This is the design. This is the way it is. You got to understand the way I made it. I made it on purpose. So to mess with it, you mess with the system, and now you have all sorts of problems, and you wonder why it's broke, because you're walking in dysfunction, and you're trying to make something that is not supposed to work. It's just not going to work that way. Why? Because it changes the dynamics of the whole situation. Your emotions get involved, and now we have problems. You don't understand and know who you are because you're just trying to figure it out. You don't have to try to figure it out, God said. This is the way I made it. Allow the Spirit of God to speak to you. Stop compromising in it. Stop trying to be inclusive. Just try to be liked by me, he said. That would be great. And as that happens, all of a sudden, you'll begin to straighten out, be strengthened, and be like, oh my God, what a way to live, isn't it? It's a great way to live because God said, I designed them that way. Saul, you didn't have to get here. If you would have just accepted the fact that I had another king coming, and that's your son, we probably could have did some stuff. But because emotionally, he wasn't right. He couldn't take it. Because he wasn't connected to the right source. Because you remember, he was man's choice. And what God didn't really want, but God said, all right. Because anytime man gets in the way, we start making up stuff. Like how bad can we sin here? Like, what can we do? What can we do? What can we do to this animal to make it more human? You can read up on that later. What can we do here? How far can we get to the right or left and test it to see how far we can push it? Because we like to push it and go past the boundaries because we think that we're the Almighty. And because we're so filled with humanistic viewpoints, we think that we can transcend above who we are and think we can be like God. And think that we can't. And so what we try to do is we try to be like God, and we know where that got Satan. And so we try to do things that God says, I never called you to do it. I've called you to search out me and find out what I have for you. And yes, stretch past limitations. I never said change your DNA. I never said change the makeup. I never said try to like mess with my word to make it fit how you want it to fit. I never said, oh, take that and put it here because that's how you feel today. I never said any of that. So what I'm asking you to do is just get in line with who I am and figure out what I've called you to do. And one, figure out who you are in me, because that'll take care of a lot of it. And then all of a sudden you begin to see, oh, that is wrong. That you're right, Lord. That is. Thank you, Lord, for showing me that. And you begin to walk in truth and you won't bow down to the pressure of everybody else. Because that's what we do essentially when you give in, you worship their opinion rather than God. I know we don't do this because we're not in Eastern culture, but essentially what we do, if you could look and say, you're right. Instead of bowing down to the one true king and say, no, you're right. I shall have no other gods before me, he said. So if that's true, does what's happening right now surprise you? Well, little by little, God starts pulling it away. And for some of you, your family of origin, what you thought they were like or who they were, God said, no, this is who they are. And you didn't really see it until I showed you. And all that stuff, God begins to say, hey, listen, it's always been about me, but I let you see things now so you look back and say, thank you for your grace, Lord. I protected you and I saved you because I had something for you. For some of you, that idol's got to come down. And God's bringing that stuff down, and it hurts, I know. Because you identify with family. Will you please stop talking about emotional health? Because I don't see anything in here about a great story in the Old Testament where the prophet comes out in victory. What are we talking about? No, we got to talk about that. Because what it does is it defines you more than you think. And if you don't, I promise you, just keep living. And all that stuff, that's coming down because that has to come down. Because if he's not supposed to have any other gods before him, that has to come down and he has to take the place. Because you don't follow them. Oh, no. Maybe we do. That's the problem. I'm not just talking about who's in here. Maybe that's what we do. We follow them subconsciously. You know how it is. Well, my dad was a dentist, but I got to be one. You don't even like teeth. Yeah, but it's a family line. I gotta continue it. Why? I don't know. I never really thought about it. Maybe you should start. What has God placed in your heart? I never knew I could disagree. I never knew I didn't have to, because that's not something that I really wanted to, or I felt like that's where God was pulling me. I never knew that I could disagree. I never knew that I could have my own life and stand up on my own and think for myself. Because I always thought if I did do that, it will go against the family. And if I went against the family, there'd be hell to pay. And I just wasn't emotionally strong enough to be able to handle the rejection of that. But God is good. Because God intervenes and says, you know what? We're going to do something different with you. Because there's something about you I like. You're crazy. There's something inside of you I like. You want to test me, and I like that a little bit. You want to push me, and I like that a little bit. Because God doesn't mind your stuff. I like that. I like that. I put it inside of you. Let's go work a little bit. And God goes to work to do all that stuff until you realize as God begins to strip and break down, you're becoming who you are. And secretly, you like who it is you are. And all of a sudden, God likes who you are. When you realize that God likes who you are, man, it doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. And then you begin to go up and you can be around your families. You can be around your families of origin and be okay being yourself. And when the enemy comes up and tries to whisper, oh, here it comes again, you're going to fail this one. And you pass, you're like, made it through that one tonight. And you went home and you got in bed and you were at peace. Made it. And you get up the next day, there is no one beside you. And you're singing the song. You know what it means. Why? Because Jesus has become the rock. He's become your source. He's become your identity. And you have your own call, your own purpose. And God begins to raise you up. And God said, that's where I want you. And you're praising God. And you know what you're praising God for. Because of what he did. Only Jesus gets the glory and the praise. Only Jesus. Because you're sleeping better. And you know who you are. And the less and less you know who you are, the harder it is for people to stand firm. And that's what you're dealing with. To the point of, just kill me, man. Kill me. Kingdom's gone. Sons are gone. I got nothing to live for. You won't do it? I'll do it myself. What swords are people falling on that they don't need to fall on? If they would just turn their heart back over to Jesus. But Jesus is too uncomfortable. It's too inconvenient. It's too much work. I'd rather just die. It's easier to die than it is to want to get better. Because that means that you'll have to change your attitude and your perspective about who you are and what you want in life. And God will allow you to get to that point, Saul. What are you going to do now? Notice one time, he's not even crying out to the Lord. I know the Lord left him, but at least try to cry out. Like, We got a problem here. So for you, are we falling on swords that we don't need to fall on anymore? Are we killing ourselves for stuff we don't need to kill ourselves on anymore that God has already delivered you from? Why are you trying to make them like you? Why are you wasting your energy trying to just be yourself? And that's the problem. Just be yourself. I don't know. Be yourself. That's hard for people because they are so defined, whether they like to admit it or not, subconsciously by what other people are going to think, especially on a Sunday morning when the lights are on and the lights don't work, when it's dark and they can't hide. You notice worship's like, everyone's good. Everyone's doing their thing. There's no loose stuff going on. We got hands in proper positions. Everything's good because we are sub. I'm telling you, because subconscious lights are on. Hold on. This serious today. God's here. Like he can't see in the dark. He's here. And so next week when the lights get, man, it's going to be great next week. Real freedom in here. People are like, oh my God, thank God. I can sit down in the back because he ain't looking back here. Okay. All of a sudden it just changes. Worship team can't see nobody. You're all like just praising God, just whatever. So when the lights are on, things change. When you know that the Spirit of God is in you, things change. And the light bulb goes on and says, oh boy, I'm seeing things now differently. I got to behave a little better. You know, God will make you straighten out. I got to behave a little better. I can't do that no more. And God will purposely put you in situations to see how you're going to behave. As a good father or parent would do with his kids. I'm going to let my kids, I'm not going to intervene here. I'm going to see what they're doing. And God does the same thing with you. You know what's coming. All right, Lord, I know I'm about to go in. I know immediately the enemy's going to try to whisper to me. Lord's with you, but he's going back up. Fighting's going to be fierce. What are you going to do in the middle of it? Are you going to rehearse my goodness and know that I'm with you, even though you can't, quote, feel me? Or are you going to back up and retreat back into that cave where you like to cut yourself? Because eventually, you start cutting yourself too much, you bleed out. And then eventually, the edge ends up in death. You know what I'm talking about. You don't want to be honest in here, but you know what I'm talking about. You eventually get so down into self-loathing, you're like, it's better to just die here, Saul. I'd rather just die. And God said, if you would have just stood up in the middle of that thing, I set you down right at that table, look those people square in the eye, and be confident in who I've called you to be. If you would have just did that, you would have graduated. Man, you don't know what I would have did for you. Because I'm about to do something greater in the earth. I need my people who are not going to back down in the presence of their enemies. I need people who are not going to back down from their own self and begin to take on who I am. I need people who are going to stand up and do it anyway. Please, please. I don't need another group of people, God said, trying to question their identity and trying to figure out who they are. I need people to know who they are in me and know what I've called them to do and how I've called them to do it. I'm going to give them the grace. I'm going to give them the peace. They're going to walk in power. But I need you just to trust me and rehearse what I did for you. That's what happens. We get like the memory goes. We get in a situation. We forget what God just did for us. Oh, God! It's just a dinner, man. He's like, oh, God. I'm like, dude, we just had a great experience. We do this. We had a great experience with God. We get to the place. We're out in the open. We're out in the world. We're free. And all of a sudden, it's like, we forget. Oh, God. We're sweating. What did I do? This? I don't know. And the enemy, all the enemy is doing is poking. Poking. God didn't really do that. It starts messing with your head. Start doing this. You got to have a backstop. What's the backstop? The backstop is no. You know how powerful that word is? Try using it. I'm not going there anymore. I'm here. You're going to have to take me out here. If I die and pass out of the dinner table, this is where I'm staying. Because I'm not going back. And you think I'm funny. But you know what people deal with? I'm going to stay right here. I'm going to look him straight in the eye. listen. Because as I do that, God's going to come through for me. I'm not moving until dinner's over. And when it's over, I'm going to stare you out in a way out like this. So like get in my car, I'll be like, all right, it was a good night. That's it. Y'all, you got to play it. And you think it's funny, you got to play that game. You got to play the game because when the enemy starts to get in and he sees the weakness, like, oh, they're backing up now. No, I'm not. And I'm not. Not today. I'm doing it. My stomach hurts. I'm doing it. I'll go to the bathroom later, but I'm doing good right now. That's how it is, man. Because not, you'll end up like him dying on that sword. And I got to raise you up. Like, man, what happened, man? I don't know. I just passed out. It's just too much for me. I just. Pass out in faith. Take that home. Pass out in faith. Don't pass out in fear. It's a lot worse. What happened? I don't know, man. I was believing God so much, I forgot to breathe. And I went for it. I went for it. I don't know, but are we good? We good? Yeah, man, it was good. Great night. Awesome. Good. You can go. It's worse when it's like, man, I can't deal with it, and I got to go back here, and you end up in the hospital. Jesus. Because panic sets in. Are you writing this stuff down? Because what happens is that you'll be surprised at what takes people out. And oftentimes, it's the stability they have in their emotions and their mental fortitude to stay in it. And God will test it. I don't care what you say. God will test it, even if that means you fail. You ever fail the test? Man, come on up. You ever failed the test? I failed the test. Do I quit or do I say, nah, I'm going to get up, do it again. And God is gracious. And guess what? He's going to make you take the test again. Get back in it. Do it again. Lord, I feel it coming on. Do it again. Yeah. Lord, and what we do, instead of moving in faith and taking out the sword of the Spirit, we start to take out our own sword. And that's what we do. Every time we back up, we're getting closer to killing ourselves. But this sword is bigger than your sword. And if you will just take that sword out, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and walk in that, God will help you fight that. But you have to be willing to fight it. And nobody goes to war and, okay, just go ahead. Whatever you're going to do, just go ahead and do it. What kind of war is that? You don't think every day when you go out that you are going out into a war, fierce fighting is taking place, and you go out, Lord, whatever happens today happens. Are you walking around all lackadaisical? Whatever happens, Lord, whatever happens. Whose car? It's not my car. It's okay. It's not my car. You're not my wife. It's cold out. You look good, right? All of a sudden, it's what happens. Ain't no one fights a war like that. You go out with purpose and intentionality. Hold on. Today is the day the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice and glad in it. Thank you, Lord, that I have your mind today. Lord, that you're with me today. And I'm going to be intentional about my day. Thank you for leading my steps. I'm not leaning on my own understanding, but I'm trusting in you, and you're making my path straight. Thank you, Lord, that this is the day. Stuff's going to come up, but you're with me. I'm going to face it. And Lord, when that temptation is for me to start taking out my sword, Lord, remember, help me remember your sword. That's the fight. Y'all remember Crocodile Dundee years ago? That's not a knife. This is a knife. God takes that thing out. All right. You need to let the enemy know and your enemies know that ain't a knife. That's your issue. This is what I got. And that's what the enemy does for you. He don't have that sword. He's got little daggers. And it's just quick, kill yourself. You're not good enough. All this stuff. But the more you get the Word of God in you and walk by faith, and all of a sudden you got the sword, all of a sudden that stuff bounces off. I heard you, but don't affect me anymore. That's right. I'm gonna do it anyway. You're not worth it. Oh, yeah, I'm worth it. How you doing? And you're talking to someone about Jesus and he's lying to you the whole time. Man, God, you are the worst person. No, I'm really good. You're having a conversation with the enemy, with this person. Ever do that? I do. You trying to talk to me? I'm like, you suck. And we're having a conversation. I'm like, get out of my face. And I'm talking. I'm like, how you doing? Doing really good. Talking to me the whole time. I'm good, though. I'm good. Why? Greater is he that's in me. And when you do that, all of a sudden, he realizes that I don't have the power that I think I have. I can't jab them here. Or even if I do jab them, it doesn't work as much. When he was younger, it went in deeper. Now it don't go in as deep. Because he's learned. Man, y'all stand up. God is so good. We can keep going today. But the Spirit of God wants to do some things. Not only in this season, in this house. You begin to realize that if greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world, that his blades are blunt. And you begin to say, well, what are you using? It doesn't even work anymore. Proactive. That doesn't work. Try something else, man. You don't say it because it's not as fierce. When the fighting is real fierce and you're in it, you can talk a little bit greater because you know you've been on the field long enough that the one who's with you is fighting, help fight with you. So listen, you can try all you want. I'm never going to sing. You're never going to sing like you used to. All right, cool. I hear you. Cool. I'm still going to get up. I'm still going to do what God, I'm still going to praise him. No matter. It doesn't define me. Whatever. But no, you're not going to sing anymore. You missed that. You'll get it later. He was in heaven. Okay, forget he missed it. Y'all, come on, man. You got to. So what's happened is we got blades going in deep. They're going in deep. And because it the wound is deep, it's red, it's tough to be able to fight against it because it's just, oh, God. But the more you allow the Lord to heal and get in, the fresher you feel and be able to get up and fight against it. And like I said, you'll build strength in areas that have been weak. And you'll begin to find that, man, where I was weak, he's become strong. And that doesn't affect me as much anymore. And I'm a new creature in Christ. And you begin to know what that looks like. Wait, oh, this is for real. But it doesn't mean it doesn't come without a fierce fight. Because he does not want you to become what God has designed for you to become. He would love a bunch of mini Sauls. Not just go out and just fall on your own sword. It's easier to do it. But if you got some fight in you, if there's anything inside of you that says we got to fight, get up every single day and fight. It's nasty, but get up every day and fight. Be yourself and fight. Use the gifts that God has called you and fight. Use the resources God has given you and fight. Man, I'm telling you, he's fighting with you. Just get up and do it. And I'm telling you, and I'll tell you it again, he's with you. It's a fierce fight. It's not just one and done. It's sanctification. It's a process. Overcome. And as you do it, strength. You're gonna need it because it's gonna get worse before it gets better. This morning in Team Rally, if you weren't here, we encourage the church. We are gonna fast during the month of August. We're not asking you to fast in anything particular. We just want you to fast for a number of reasons. We feel like that the world is at another level. Spiritually, that God is wanting to do something in the earth today, and we feel it on another level. We're praying for that. We're praying for God to begin to help release people from bondage, release people from emotional dysfunction, just stuff that's just holding them back, all that stuff. We're believing God for wisdom on next steps, what God wants us to do on a larger level, because we do feel that. We're praying for that. Obviously, we're praying for finances, but God's been very faithful in finances. Guys, can I be honest with you? That's last on my list. My heart, that needs to be last because he's already provided. Why do you got to lead with that all the time? That's the afterthought. Oh, he's good. He's going to provide. I'm praying for the bigger things. Thank you, Lord, that you're going to provide and that's coming in. I'm not going crazy. You're going to do it as I'm faithful. We need 8 million.
okay. And that's all we're doing. We need 8 million. We need 8. And that's all we do. How you doing? Are you giving? Yeah, dude. I got nothing left in my pocket. Okay? I got lint. Like everything's falling out of my pocket. What do you want me to do? I can't do anything else. I'm giving 15, 20%. What do you want from me? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. Am I doing what God's asked me to do? Yes. Am I fighting? Yes. Are things? Yes. Great. God said, I got you. It don't say seek that. I'm not doing it. So if that means you got to chill for a little bit, chill. God's going to provide. We're not going to be those. Come on. That's something I believe God's breaking. Yes, I hear you. Thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness. Every person in this room who knows who you are, who knows the power of your resurrection because they've fellowshiped with your suffering. Thank you for your faithfulness to deliver and heal, to make blunt the jabs of the enemy. Thank you, Lord, for the sharpening of their sword. And as they wield it, and as they stand and walk where you've called them to walk, I thank you, Lord, you go with them. The power of your spirit goes with them. And Lord, that they will take back territories in their own mind, areas of blessings that their families and parents missed out on, they're going to get. I thank you, Lord, that they're going to get it because you said you're doing a new thing in these last days, and that the latter days will be greater than the former. You're not doing it like you did it in generations past. You're doing something new. And Lord, I feel you even saying that you're going to walk in promised land, new promised lands. I thank you that there will be new promised lands. There will be milk and honey flowing in this house. There will be milk and honey flowing in your house universally. That there will be people walking in a greater dominion of power because of who they are in you. Thank you, Lord, for the deep wells that are inside of us. Those deep wells that you're springing up. Lord, for the fruit, Lord, that you're causing us to bear. Fruit that's going to remain. Lord, thank you for making it heavy. Leaving no doubt, Lord. Big. Lord, I'm on big fruit of peace. Yes. Yes. Righteousness, joy. Lord, I pray that there will be no doubt that we serve a God who's able to do immeasurably more above all we can ask or think, according to the power that works inside each one of us. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.